You're listening to DraftKings Network.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Welcome to the Big Suey, presented by DraftKings.
Why are you listening to this show?
The podcast that seems very similar to the other Dan Le Batard podcast.
I'm sorry, I'm not going to apologize for that.
In fact, the only difference seems to be this imaging.
I have been tempted in restaurants just walking past tables to grab somebody's fries that if they're just there. That hasn't happened to you guys?
I've done it.
And now, here's the marching man to nowhere, Fat Face, and the habitual liar.
Stugatz, I was informed by people who handle such things at Metal Arc Media that Metal Arc Media, in your honor, is presently constructing an actual bandwagon in the event that our show wants to be in the parade near Sawgrass Mills Mall.
Swinging around by Pat Salerno Drive.
A bandwagon that could be in the parade. You attended your first game last night.
It was great.
You ate ice cream. You found it all to be magical. You were amazed that people would like a hot goalie. It was a bit of a surprise to you that people...
There are three guys there. They have Bob written across their chest. B-O-B. It's. I mean, they're shirtless the entire game.
A lot
it's
of great. People have fallen in love with Tkachuk and a variety of different players on the team because the bandwagon is getting more and more crowded. Billy watched a game the other day.
I watch all the games. What are you talking about? I've been in on this team.
Yeah.
For how long?
I mean, since they've been in it, I've been in on this team.
Yeah.
When you guys were there and you were saying, oh, they're going to lose to Boston, I'm like, I don't know, not so fast, my friend, because I like Lee Corso.
So after Boston is when you started paying attention?
No, I was watching before Boston. I was telling you, when you guys were quitting on this team, same thing with the Heat, I was saying, just, you know, wait and see. Let's see how this whole thing plays out.
Yeah, wait and see approach.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
There is a... We are going to try and get in the parade if they get that far.
We've been invited. Stugatz and I have been invited to the parade should they win it.
We'll include the entire show, of course. But Steve Goldstein, the voice of the Florida Panthers, did say if we could produce a bandwagon, he has the pull. He would be able to get us in the parade. So that is a great sign for us. I also asked him if he could help me out. I want to bang the drum. I want to bang the drum. We have to do better than Jeff Conine for the Cup.
Would that be better?
I'm not sure. I just want to bang the drum. It looks fun. I mean, they should have you bang the drum, Chris.
Thank you.
I will also say that Goldie did tell you that he saw the plan should they had won in 1996, and it would be a boat parade. So a bandwagon would not help us in a boat parade, which may be why we were told if you get a bandwagon, you could be in a parade because it's a boat parade. So we wouldn't be able to do anything with it.
What's the boat equivalent of a bandwagon? Is it like a little dinghy being pulled along behind another boat?
What if we got one of those like floating tiki bars and we were just like floating behind like a parade?
Are we pedaling? Are we pedaling?
That's it. Oh, yeah, it's a pedal boat.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a pedal boat.
Good idea.
Like a bachelorette party.
Mm-hmm.
What?
He's right, though.
He's right,
In Nashville?
In Nashville.
You know,
or just a Tuesday in Nashville.
Yeah, right.
And you know it. I mean, come on. Nice hat, asshole. What? Where'd that come from? A boat parade is a bad idea for a championship parade. I'm sorry. I know we're on the water, but...
That's a great idea. If
roads,
you got, I mean, it would be around the Los Olas Winter Boat Parade route.
I mean,
it was pretty cool when Tom Brady was on the boat getting really drunk and Gronk was catching Lombardi trophies from boat to boat.
Here's the problem with a boat parade, okay? Imagine being a fan of America's Cup sailing. Okay, you're a spectator on a distant shore. What excitement are you getting out of watching the America's Cup as a live spectator? With a boat parade, the boats are off in the distance. You're on the shore clapping 200 yards away. There's no visceral feeling. Like when you have a championship parade down Biscayne Boulevard, like we've seen three times with the Heat, you're right there. You're in the middle of it. You feel like you're a part of the parade. You're not just watching it with binoculars. Boat parade, bad idea.
He's right.
Thank you.
The only way I get what you're saying. It's like the people's parade. It's like boats are expensive.
Yes.
You have to be able to lose money to have a boat. So right. How can you expect? But what if the city rented out like party boats or had a big barge, like a flat?
Well, this is Charlotte. This is your general unfamiliarity with where this all is. It should all be airboats. Like, this is marshland. This is not some scenic. I don't think Charlotte understands.
Yeah, but we're going to bring
geography.
Well, just our area of South Florida, where that arena is.
You're really sticking it out in the Everglades.
It's going to be Fort Lauderdale.
Is the Everglades.
This is not going to be a parade in the Everglades.
If it's by Salt
Lake, that would be great.
Yes, this is what. But where it should be, if it's a boat parade, it should be absolutely through long grass,
pythons,
yes,
alligators. Crocodiles.
If you're talking about where that arena is, it's not for, like, I understand this is Broward's team, but the parade's going to be in East Broward. It's not going to be anywhere near the arena. Why? Because you need airboats.
But this parade will take place near Capone's.
Dan, I hate to say this, but you're right. I don't have any idea of where the places are that we're talking about.
And I don't think most of the audience understands how funny it is that the Panthers are doing this to Canada and people who love hockey.
This is hilarious. This is hilarious for both teams because they're 8 seeds and they're not, outside of the Bruins series, they have not really been challenged. And in the Panthers and more recently the Panthers case, but also the last series against the Knicks, they're doing this, thrashing these teams, and I don't think they're playing particularly well.
Oh,
like, the Heat have been spectacular this series against Boston so far, but the Panthers, I mean, look at their last few games. They're all eking it out by one goal, and they're not playing really well offensively. They're super clean. They're super poised. Defense is great. Bob's incredible. But this attack that we had in the
they were outplayed last night, correct?
Oh, we've been outplayed. Yeah, we had 17 shots to, what, 32?
32, yeah.
They parked the bus in the third period.
No, look, they had to do so without Barkov. They had to win that game without Barkov, which is pretty big. And I don't know. We'll see what happens. Should the Panthers rest their starters for Game 4?
What's wrong with you guys? Like, why is nothing ever good enough? These are two teams that you thought were not going to make it this far, and now they're still doing it. Like, well, I wish they were doing it better. I wish they were more dominant.
I think Mike's larger point, I guess I'm speaking for him, but I would say that what he's just saying is, do you understand that the Heat's chief advantage against the Nuggets is sorcery? That all of this stuff is hard to explain. It's hot goalie and Jimmy Butler going crazy, and also it helps that the Celtics are falling apart and the Heat are well coached. But it's a bit confusing to see teams that we don't really believe or have not believed in South Florida, even though one of them deserves our belief as an institution. Yeah. The other one has earned its mistrust because it's been mismanaged for many, many years.
But as an 8 seed, like I'm not demanding more. I'm actually giving them compliments that they've done this, and they haven't really played to their ceiling yet, which
since
is crazy.
Since Boston, really. That Game 6, they were amazing.
Boston Game 6, they were incredible.
They played good against Toronto. They did.
No, they played all right. Those Toronto games, Toronto, you can make an argument, was outplaying them. Yeah. It was just, it's a hot goalie, and the answer's been on the roster the entire time when we were searching, grasping at straws, trying to make Spencer Knight happen, a journeyman in Alex Lyon, who did make it happen. They don't get into the playoffs without his contributions. Chucky has said as much. But the fact that Bob has become this guy is wild to me.
When you keep talking about Bob and saying hot goalie, I'm like, is he? I've got a picture up of him. No.
Oh, man.
You don't think so? Ever since he grew his hair out.
No, he's good looking.
Well, but I asked all.
Loses 20 pounds a game.
I ask all of these Panthers when they come on with us.
Oh, I guess I see.
What are you laughing about, Billy?
Nothing. I fed Greg something he refused to say.
Well, what he fed me was a little bit on the blue side of comedy.
I don't
work blue. Yeah, that's what he said. I'm supposed to say that, although quite frankly, I was 3 feet away from him last night as he's peeling off his pads. That's a good-looking Eastern European man.
Okay,
there's
a bad smell on those guys when they're peeling off their pads. But what I was saying before is that I'd f*** him, too.
Speaking of parades, I have been invited to the Heat parade. Once it goes down, Biscayne, I will be on the floor.
Yeah.
Heat culture,
well, you're
baby.
A Celtic Heat fan. Goes.
Hold on, don't do that. I'm a fan of the logo, brother.
That's right.
You can be a fan of the shield. I can be a fan of the logo. I want all those brothers to succeed.
Fair
Black
enough.
Power.
Fair enough.
Juju, you're wearing a Heat jersey. You were wearing a Celtics jersey two games ago.
I was wearing a Ja Morant jersey when he got in trouble the first time. I was wearing a Kachuk.
Yeah,
Kachuk, you know.
Exactly.
Sergei Kachuk, yeah.
We call him Sergei whenever we're
his friends call him that, yeah.
His closest friends.
Exactly.
Yep.
You guys act like Dwayne Wade didn't run around wearing a Cavs jersey and a Bulls jersey.
Yeah.
Also, by the way, I'd like to just say that you guys are missing some all-time great moments from some Heat players, okay? Someone's talking.
Yeah, there's an echo.
What's that echo?
What's happening?
Hi, Coach. How you doing? It's Lewis from the Lebatard Show. Can you hear me?
This is just so perfect. It's just, this is the incompetence of video. It's always
Lewis, we can hear you.
It's, it is. No, I want everyone
to hear
this. I want everyone
to
hear.
What does Coach have
to
say?
Video's not even working this week, but Lewis is here to foul things up from the shadows of the beyond while preparing to get George Karl for us.
Hi, Coach. How's it going?
What I was beginning to say before I was interrupted by Lewis, who will get on this show by any means necessary, is if I, because I enjoy asking all of these Panthers players, hey, when you're walking around, are you actually famous in South Florida? Bobrovsky wearing a mask? No chance. No chance that Bobrovsky is getting the
fans. If he was wearing his Panthers mask, people would be like, why are you wearing this in this lunch party?
But I believe that Bobrovsky gets an anonymity that no hockey goalie in a town that loves its hockey. I'm guessing that Bobrovsky is not getting the fame circling around him that that kind of excellence would bring.
A cup run could probably change a couple people's lives, like Bobrovsky and Kachuk locally. But I do think part of the appeal in playing hockey in this market is that those players can be anonymous. They can go out. We saw the trouble that they got into when they were getting swept by Tampa, about in a real hockey town, how a bunch of them recognized them at Mons Venus, and it became a whole thing, and Brunette had to come out in front of the microphones. Like, that's what life is in Tampa. Tampa knows what everyone looks like. They know what the backup goalie looks like in Tampa. We've got a long way to go as a hockey town because we haven't had moments like this.
Is that George Karl?
Like, my Zoom pod is not on, and I'm hearing.
It was definitely George. You can see George. Yeah.
Video. Get your shit together.
Yeah.
Like, it's just a groan.
Just get out of the way. I just heard.
Hi, everybody.
George is eating something.
We'll get to George Karl in a second.
I was making a point about Mons Venus, and it was rudely interrupted by George Karl.
I had stats before, yeah.
By a grunting George Karl. We've got to ask him. I mean, we have to ask him because we haven't talked about it yet. He's got to be as confused as the rest of us by Jokic left-footed moving to his left one-legged threes to win series over LeBron and Anthony Davis.
Give Spo 8 days. Gives Spo 8 days.
Are you up late enough to watch these games, Cody?
And you know it.
This is a new and unimproved Dan Levitard show with the Stugats. Gamble on
not
by
clever,
DraftKings.
This is totally unfair. It's an illegal
That's
hard
the point.
Out. It's an illegal hard
I
network out.
Your answer.
I'm looking at 00. No horn is gone. I blurt out a word.
Hi,
and
Coach.
Then
how
I
you doing?
It's crazy.
Hey everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.
Don Lebatard.
Why are you so bad at this?
Stugatz.
I can't answer that question. It's a good one, though. I've been thinking about it a lot.
This is the Don Lebatard Show with the Stugatz.
I love that cantankerous George Karl is still out here beefing with DeAndre Ayton. You're weak for sitting out game six with whatever rib thing you got. Beefing with J.R. Smith. Maybe if you weren't smoking so much weed during our run-throughs and our walk-throughs, we would have been a better team. George has always spoken his mind. It's always gotten him in trouble. And Denver's at the center of the universe right now in basketball, Stugatz, because they've got the same us-against-the-world thing that the Heat have, where they've got the MVP. They just knocked off LeBron. Mike Malone, who insists on being called Michael Malone because he seems like he's got some of that spicy asshole you like from your leaders.
He wants some respect for himself and for his team.
Yes, and the team yesterday, Carmelo Anthony retires, and as that's happening, George, and I want to get your viewpoint on this, that loaf of bread who plays at center for the Denver Nuggets, who is unlike anything I've ever seen in the sport, is going step back, left-footed, three-pointer over Anthony Davis to end LeBron's season and make him talk about retirement. And, George, I don't know if you're doing what I'm doing. I'm like, what the bleep is that? What is that? How is that possible from that size? What is that basketball player?
I've never seen a guy make three of them in one game. I don't know. It looks like a throw. It doesn't look like a shot. It looks like a throw, a fling. But Jokic has been – what I like about what's going on now is that most of the world is not seeing Jokic as a great player. And I think we're seeing one of the great players of all time play a very athletic, fast, high-jumping, speed game in a very slow-motion manner. He's amazing. He's so fundamental. He's not flashy. I mean, if Tim Duncan was boring, Jokic is double boring. I mean, he doesn't do anything except play winning basketball on almost every possession of an NBA game. And I don't think the fans of basketball have recognized that. He's been doing this now for about 4 or 5 years. And now he's finally getting the recognition I think he deserves.
Juju, put it on the poll, please. If Tim Duncan is boring, is Jokic double boring at Lebatard Show? I thought, George, you're never hesitant to criticize coaching, which is strange because usually you guys gather together. But if you see something that's flagrant, you will say so, even though you are a coach ally. Playing LeBron James for 48 minutes at 38 years old, I thought, is the reason he went 1-for-6 with 2 points in the fourth quarter, because Denver's pace is too much to ask an old man to. I know he's got to as the superstar, but you did him no favors by making him play more minutes than anyone on the court against the pace of Denver. Of course he doesn't have anything left in the fourth quarter.
Well, I just think the alternative is impossible to overcome. I think what you found out as the series goes on, that when you take your best player off the floor, it's how you maintain an even score. And every time LeBron went off the floor, L.A. had no options. They had no offensive player that could create the game. They didn't have a playmaker that could make a shot for somebody else. Anthony Davis wasn't good enough on the low block. And so LeBron was the only option. And, you know, they were hoping that maybe Russell would give him a lift. Maybe someone else would give him a lift. But the truth of the matter was L.A. was flawed offensively. And the only guy that really had the ability to do what he did last night was LeBron James. I know Anthony Davis got 40 in game one, but he hasn't played that way the rest of the way. And the third quarter, I thought the L.A.'s big guys missed so many easy baskets around the basket that it really caused a negative energy that LeBron couldn't overcome in the fourth quarter.
George, are you buying that he's contemplating retirement?
I'm not buying that one. I just think he's thought too much about his kids how much he kind of wants to play with them. I think what he was telling the truth was he wants to win another championship. I think that's what he said last night. It wasn't that he was going to retire. He says, I want to win another championship in a very subconscious way. And I think he and the Lakers are going to have to figure that out. Their roster is not the easiest thing in the world to figure out. But I thought they did a hell of a job of fixing their team in the middle of an NBA season and almost getting to the finals, which I thought LA should be very proud of the year they had.
Which is more likely, based on reading between the lines there, on him seeking the attention immediately after being eliminated in a sweep? Hey, go get me Kyrie Irving, or hey, I'm going to sit out a year and then try and play with my son in a year?
I think what he was saying more than anything else, go get me help. I think they thought Anthony Davis would be that guy. He was that guy 3 or 4 years ago in the bubble. But Anthony Davis is not a everyday superstar. He kind of picks and chooses his moments. And I think if they found another top quality player and to go with Anthony Davis, they might be able to do it. They might be able to get out. But the Western Conference is just getting better. I mean, Denver's showing what they're capable of. You got teams like Memphis that are capable, I think, of coming on. The West is only getting better. And I think sometimes LeBron forgets he was in the East for a long time where he only had to beat one or two teams. Mm-hmm. But out West, you got to beat 3 or 4 or 5 teams.
George, how do you see a likely Denver-Miami final?
I love what Miami is doing. I'll be honest with you. I love Jimmy Butler. I love Eric Spoelstra. I think the culture that we talk about, I love that Miami's playing Denver because you got two of the most, right now, Butler and Jokic are men. They are standing up for the right stuff of basketball, and they're lifting their teams to a high level of success. I didn't think Miami was very good going into the playoffs, but right now they got the magic. They got some magic in their hand.
Are you saying it? Are you saying it, Carl? Are you saying they've got the magic in their hands, the Miami Heat? You are favoring the Miami Heat. Nobody's favoring the Miami Heat. Everyone thinks the Miami Heat cannot keep doing this, and everyone, including me, is wrong at every turn. You're saying you like Miami's chances better than Denver's, probably because their defense is better than Denver's?
I'm not saying that. I'm not going to go out totally that way because I love Denver. I want them to win. I think the city of Denver, I'd be great to be a part of that party that would happen. But I believe in momentum. I believe in confidence and connection. And right now, Miami and Denver are the two teams that are connected, that trust each other, and they have a chemistry right now that at times you don't understand how they do it. But they've been doing it against really good basketball teams, Boston, Milwaukee. Those two teams are really, really good teams, and they handled them. And a lot of it has to do with Jimmy Butler. But a lot of the guys that are playing really well for them are some of the guys that I don't even know where they went to college. I don't even know where they're from. They're making shots. You know, Kevin Love has gone down there, and all of a sudden he looks like he's a good player again. I don't think I would probably favor Denver in the series, only because I love Jokic and what he does, because he does the same thing that Butler does in a different way, but he does it with a lot bigger team, a lot longer team, and probably even more athletic team. But the one thing Milwaukee has done is they're making the three ball, and the NBA right now, whoever makes the three ball has a hell of an advantage in winning games.
George, you know how good Spoelstra is. What do you imagine will be his strategy on Jokic?
That's the one I don't like, that matchup. Because I think Jokic likes little guys that give him trouble or big guys that have length and strength. And I love Bam. I think he's one of the most efficient basketball players in the NBA. But I don't know how he matches up against Jokic. I don't know their history. So I would think that Spoelstra's probably going to have to come up with some double teams. And maybe, I think he might see Jimmy Butler on Jokic somewhere along the way.
Dear God, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I understand why you're saying that, but that doesn't seem like it would go well for anybody.
Well, I think the least efficient Jokic is the low post Jokic. I think Jokic, when he's out on the floor and he's giving those handoffs and he's playing point guard, that's where he's the most effective at making his team play best. When they're least effective is when he goes down on the low block. And he's damn good down there. But that's the least efficient offense that Jokic has in his game. And I don't know what Eric will probably mess around with some zone. Maybe there's a box in one action that could give Jokic some trouble. But I think Eric will have some tools in his toolbox. He'll throw some stuff at him.
George, is he the best coach in the NBA right now?
I would definitely say it over the last 5 years. I think what he has done with their roster, he gets the most out of his roster most of the time. And what I love about him is he's a coach. You know, he doesn't blame players. He goes out and he makes guys better. And he makes them conform to the rules that he thinks makes them win basketball games. And he's got a great leader in Butler in doing that. But Lowry's the same type of player. Bam has become that type of player. And all of a sudden, all their guys out there play the right way, play with a hell of an attitude, play defense, and play together.
George, great seeing you. Thank you, sir. Great seeing you again. Thank you for making the time.
Okay, Dan. Have a good week. And I don't know about these 9 days off. Can you get that fixed for us?
Yeah, I'll handle it right during the break. Thank you, sir.
Can you get that done with the league office, please?
Thank you.
Love you, brother.
Don Le Batard.
I'm going to get some golf ASMR.
Stugatz.
Oh, me.
This is the Don Le Batard Show with the Stugatz.
I continue to be embarrassed that we have become the show I hate. We just did with George Carl an interview. The camera was shaky throughout because of anybody over 50, me included, with a Zoom is a problem in the modern age. It's confounding. And George Carl came on with us, and George Carl has been, for his entire life as a coach, interesting. And what I gleaned from that interview is that Spo is a coach, Jokic is a pro,
yeah,
and Jimmy's a man.
Uh-huh.
And don't forget about the nugget that he gave us about Jokic on the low block.
There's also magic in a toolbox.
Yeah, it's my kind of interview.
Also, Anthony Davis, not an everyday superstar.
That was something.
That was... Don't sound so surprised.
And Kevin Love is good again.
That was something, says Chris Cody. And these are the interviews we're doing. There was a toolbox. Put it on the poll, please, Juju. Is there magic in the toolbox? Because I think there is. Brogdon's still out here. Malcolm Brogdon is still out here saying, well, I know we're down 3-0, but we're the better team. Well, you don't have magic in a toolbox, do you? No, you don't. No, you don't.
It's unbeatable.
No, your coach doesn't. Every time that Spo opens his toolbox and there's magic, your coach gets scared.
That's not nice.
Well, if that's what's happening, though, you tell me what's happening with those Zeller minutes other than that. Zeller's running around out there. He's running around just getting in everybody's way. Zeller is going to be sent out there to handle Jokic. And because there's magic in the toolbox, it's going to work.
I just had a vision from deep in the recesses of my brain from childhood of the Barney bag. You remember Barney had a bag and he would open it up and it would be like sparkles would come out of it. That's what I imagine Spo with like the Barney bag.
It's Haywood Highsmith.
This is the part that you guys, I think, like I have been wrong about everything. Basketball's easy to predict. I said at the beginning of this, it's all not wide open. Milwaukee's clearly the best team. That's where I started my analysis. Then, of course, I figure that they're going to lose to the Bucks. And I expect them to lose to Boston. All the money's in that sport. When all the money is on a big favorite, that big favorite wins almost all the time.
Yep.
There's one time I can remember Shaq and Kobe lost to the Pistons in five games and we were all stunned. But if all the money's on the big favorite usually wins. It's never down 3-0.
The NBA is usually, and I think historically, the most predictable of the sports when you get to the postseason.
Maybe we need to reevaluate that because the last four postseasons in this sport have been kind of nutty. And maybe we're taking the bubble season and the pandemic season and we're holding them up as outliers. And I thought that that was what was happening. The bubble and then the shortest offseason in NBA history gave us a pretty, in retrospect, random Suns Bucks NBA final and what felt like a random Heat Lakers final. But now you take these results, and this is the craziest postseason I can ever recall because of these low seeds making these really deep runs. I know the Lakers ended up getting swept, but maybe the NBA has changed.
When you watch Jokic play, speaking of the NBA changing, where what you have is you're really going to be wondering in that series, is undersized Bam as good at defense as Jokic is at offense?
I mean, historically, how's that matchup worked out for Bam? I know it's been tough.
I mean, he's tough on everybody.
Anyone who matches up with him.
But they've never stepped into the ring with a toolbox filled with magic before. Right.
Imagining opening your toolbox and you have the run-of-the-mill screwdriver, a hammer, a few lingering nails, I mean, a couple of screws, and then Spo opens his and magic. I mean, he wins.
Do you think it's more about stopping the other guys, like Jamal Murray, who's had this resurgence? The guy's a triple-double machine in Jokic. I don't know if there's really any stopping him. It's limiting the assists, which is other guys making buckets.
Simple equation. If Idris is in Spo's toolbox, L. If Bam is in that damn toolbox, Heat, Champions, Biscayne Boulevard, I see you.
Okay.
Let's go.
But I do see that it might be harder for Bam. I mean, this as a matchup for Bam. Robert Williams, they've wrecked Robert Williams to get to the finals last year. They got to get Robert Williams off the court because Caleb Martin is shooting 60% on him.
But Brook Lopez, big, strong, good defender. He gave Bam fits, and this is Brook Lopez on steroids.
This is the most valuable.
This would be a tough matchup for Embiid.
Stugatz, this is the most valuable player in the league. But again, yes. Very logical what you're saying. But does Michael Malone have magic in his toolbox? Because my analysis on why the Heat will win is all defense, which I can't measure, and magic in a toolbox.
I do think we're getting ahead of ourselves a little bit. This is
so proud
an 8-seed Miami Heat team. Boston is capable of winning 4 straight against Miami. I don't think it's going to happen. I think it ends tonight. But like we're previewing a Nuggets Heat NBA Finals. Like, what is this world right now?
Soft.
I think it's a world of broken people like me, but everybody, but like, how can you watch that Celtics team and think, oh yeah, they've got a chance? Like 60% of the time it works every time. It's like 0% of the time. Like, this is just not going to work. And I feel like I've said this through this whole postseason that I do think something, I use the word spooky. George Carl went with magic, but I think there's something spooky going on here. And I think that it's that, when a team gels the way they have,
No, it's witchcraft. I mean, Mike Scher should get a ring for saying.
Where is Mike Scher?
He's hiding. He should get a ring for saying that the Heat practiced the dark arts 2 months ago. Because that's what it is. It's not just magic in a box. It's Santeria.
You know what else I think it is? I think it's that the Celtics have no magic at all. Yeah. They have zero magic. Zero magic.
All they have is the town.
And chowder.
Mm-hmm. Good chowder.
Love chowder.
They need some legerdemain. No question about that.
I was actually thinking last night that it's crazy to me that you don't see just about this story in Miami right now being talked about on the national shows, but then it kind of hit me. If this was happening in Chicago and the Bears and the Bulls, or not the Bears, whatever, the Blackhawks and the Bulls were going on this run, I wouldn't care. You know what I mean? Like, I was trying to thinking last night, like, why aren't people like talking about this? What's happening down here is insane. But then it hit me. I wouldn't care if it was another city. So it's one of those things that's super cool for us, but the entire nation is just kind of like, what? I don't even know what's happening down there.
Have you been on Reddit?
It's pretty, it's pretty annoying that, Chris, that what has happened to the NBA here and this show, outside of Denver and Miami, nobody wants this. Nobody wants this. How much more
including
interesting?
Including the NBA.
Nobody. No, not, nobody.
But can't they appreciate what's happening with these two teams?
Nah. Why?
I don't know, because it's random. They're both 8 seeds.
Magic in a toolbox.
I mean, basketball nerds are salivating at the potential matchup, though. But they're going to be watching the NBA Finals regardless. This won't have mass appeal. But maybe the promotional machine with a two-week ramp-up, if tonight ends in a sweep, will have us believing that Jokic versus Jimmy Butler is appointment television. Because they have been the two best players on the planet for about a month and a half.
Yeah, there's a selling point. But the same is true in the NHL. The nation is not thrilled with the final they're about to get, Florida and Vegas. It doesn't mean it won't be a great final or that there aren't storylines to build it up.
This is what I'm rooting for, because George Karl just got done telling us on a shaky video camera handled poorly by Lewis. he just got done telling us that Jokic is double boring Duncan. What needs to happen, if you want to know what will stop making all of this boring, is let me hear the interviews with his brothers now. Let me hear the interviews that will threaten the economy around Jokic.
Let them hype it up.
And explain to us, hey, your brother, his arms are always bleeding. He used to drink 3 liters of Coke a day.
Low. Coca-Cola.
Yes, thank you. Coca-Cola. Drink 3 liters of Coca-Cola a day. Your brothers, they carried off Michael Malone, who seems like really bitter for somebody who's winning, like just raging with indignance. How dare you guys cover LeBron and not Mike Malone?
Michael.
It's his time.
The headline right now on First Take is buying LeBron contemplating retirement.
LeBron won the series last night in the press conference. He's like, I bothered you before, Mike Malone. Watch this. I might retire.
Malone's like, I'm here. You're still not talking about
me. But Jokic's brothers. If you're not remembering this from before, the Nuggets, you want to rub two sticks together and get some sparks? The Heat hate Jokic. Jokic, like, from behind, wrecked the body of whichever Morris brother was playing for the Heat back then.
We all forget.
It was like 50 games the guy missed because Jokic was a dirty player.
They were going to kill Jokic if it were not for Andy Ellisberg blocking a threshold.
They were going to kill Jokic, and what was going to happen next is Jokic's brother was going to kill the entire Heat organization.
Yeah, we were talking about the two of them. Ryan Cortez was openly threatening Jokic's brothers.
Allegedly.
Let them after him.
Please give me the interviews with those two guys that are totally honest, microphones bared. Let them wreck everything Jokic has been trying to build.
I don't like those guys. I don't like them from a couple of seasons ago. And then the nerve to talk crap to Jack Nicholson. Mm. Taunting Jack Nicholson?
So that's the point, Mike. If they let him speak, a nation would be glued in 8 days.
I feel like of all the people to taunt, Jack Nicholson's like actually kind of a good one.
Really?
Like, yeah, he can take it. He's sitting there with his hair going like...
They ran an old man off the court.
Well, you know, I don't know. Do you want to hear... I have the hottest take of all time. Well, that's not true. Yeah. I think if the NBA does...
Okay.
If the NBA does...
Go sit in the penalty box.
It might be the hottest ever.
She's got to learn the hard way.
You never know.
She's got to learn the hard way. It can't be, I've got the hottest take of all time. I'm not sure.
But you never know.
Maybe not. No, either have it or don't.
And don't ask us if we want to hear it.
Don't tell me you got... Either have it or don't. Don't tell me that you've got it. It's the hottest, but you're not totally sure. We don't know what you're talking about. Get out of here. Give me the take or not.
Do you think Mello just texted the Banana Boat Boys group chat? Really? Really? I couldn't have yesterday.
Yeah.
Always overshadowed. You couldn't let me have yesterday.
A day.
Also, I thought Mello was retired for two full seasons.
Same. I did too. I did too when I heard that announcement.
Billy tricked me by telling me he was a Hawk.
He was a Hawk.
He was a Hawk?
They even tweeted out his jersey thanking him.
They did. Yeah.
I don't think he played a game for them.
He was a Hawk?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah,
no,
was.
You're fooling me.
No, he was a Hawk.
No, you're fooling. He wasn't a Hawk.
Mike was a Hawk.
When was he a Hawk?
I have that jersey.
What?
Oh, my God.
Hey, everybody, it's Mike, and typically I record these Miller Lite spots in the studio, but I requested that I specifically record this one from my home office because I got a window, and I'm looking outside at those beautiful fishtail palms, knowing that in just a few seconds, I'm going to go out there, I'm going to crack open a can of Miller Lite, because while sitting outside by my fishtail palms is usually a good time, I like to take it up a notch and make it a Miller time. That's right, you crack that puppy open, and you don't have to think about what you're drinking for a darn second. A lot has changed over the years, including my backyard. Lots of landscaping being done right now. But the one thing that hasn't changed is the undebatable quality of Miller Lite. You don't have to choose what quality is the best. Miller Lite has great taste, and it's less filling. Tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Dan, or you can find it pretty much anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories and carbs than premium regular beer.